This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
And so our series is titled Aligning Our Voice with God's Will. And this is part three today. And in part three, I'd like to share with you, speak to you about how faith speaks. Now, I know that most of us have probably heard at least three sermons, probably more, on, you know, the importance of our words, the importance of speaking. And I know that there's a sect that a major part of Christendom, really, it's not really a sect, just a major part of Christianity that believe, you know, that they have a distaste for this name and claim it thing, as they call it, or for the, you know, some people just have different opinions about what they call the faith movement and what it's done in the body of Christ. And so I want you to know that we are a people of faith. We follow God's word. We follow the example of Jesus. We teach from the word of God. But I don't want us to tag onto any labels or anything like that. We like to focus on teaching gospel truth. And I believe that today, even though you may be familiar with some of these things, that you are going to see something that perhaps you haven't seen before, that somehow something, God is going to do something in your very own heart that is going to help you just get more clarity, more revelation, and thus more faith in your heart with regards to the importance of how faith speaks, the importance of faith speaking. Amen. So praise God. So in part one, remember, we looked at what faith is, and we looked at different aspects about that and try to get a literal, you know, practical illustration on what faith is and how it works. And I trust that that blessed you. And then in part two, which is last week, we looked at the true source of faith. I know that there are many opinions, many doctrines, many different teachings, specifically teaching that mixes law and grace. They come up with a whole works-based way of building up faith. But last week we looked at the true source of faith, which is the Lord Jesus himself. It is God himself. Amen. And so now that we understand those two specific aspects, today, as I said, I want to speak to you about faith and how faith speaks. The importance of faith speaking. But more than anything, I want to share with you today why faith needs to speak and what that looks like, and what is it that, why is it that we need to express our faith. And so let's begin by looking at Romans chapter 4. We're going to look at the second part of that verse first from the King James translation, and look at what it says. It says, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So what this is saying is that God is well able to raise the dead, bring someone back from the dead. But it says, notice how he does things like that. It says that he calls those things which are not as though they were. But here we see in Romans 4:17, how God himself actually calls those things which are not yet there, right there in reality, but he calls them as though they were. And this is how God exercises faith. This is how he practices his own faith. This is his faith nature. And it says that he himself calls those things that are not as though they were. And so I looked at that word calleth, as it is in the King James. I looked at that word in the original, and it can be translated in different ways, but the two prominent ways that it can be translated in is to call into being. That's one of the ways you can translate that. Another way you can translate that is to summon into existence, or summon into the moment. Something to that effect. So it's when God basically speaks to something or someone or a situation And he speaks what he desires in that situation, what he wants in that situation, and it happens as he speaks it. Now, in context, it talks about something like it's already real or it's already happened. So God speaks of it like it's already done. And the truth is because it has been done. Remember, God lives outside of time. Time is for us. He created time for us. He lives and exists outside of time, which is called eternity. And so he can see the whole measurement of time. He can see what we regard as past, as present, and as future. So as far as he's concerned, when he calls something at a certain point in time, for him, it's already been done because he can see the whole scope. And so this is why he calls those things that are not as though they were at that specific point in time. So it's really talking about things that are already done, that have already happened, even if you cannot yet see them. Also, to call something by what is truly meant to be. So that's what it also means. It means that God calls it by what it's meant to be and not just how it looks right now. You see, that is faith. Remember, I shared with you in part one, I shared with you the example of purchasing land and having the blueprints and then having, you know, the actual structure being built, the title deed. You see, this is all in practice right here. And so this is how God speaks. It says that he calls. In other words, he speaks. He calls those things that are not as though they were. So speaking is important. Faith needs to speak. Faith does speak. And so this is how God does it. Now let's look at the rest of that verse from the NIV translation. And you'll see it's going to help us see what he said, why he said it, and how he said it. So here it is, Romans 4:17. Watch this. This is talking about God speaking to Abraham. And it says there, as it is written, that's where he's about to quote from Genesis 17:5, okay? He says, as it is written, this is God speaking to Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. See that? So what we see right there is we see Paul connecting what he just said to Genesis 17:5, which is where he quotes it from, where God told Abraham that he would be a father of many nations at a point in time when Abraham didn't even have a son, didn't have a child. In actual fact, it's before his son Isaac was born. But yet God said to him, I have made you a father of many nations. You see, God spoke. Faith spoke. That's what we see right there. So God named Abraham father of many when Abraham was still childless, because what he says is already settled. So if we see something in God's word, if we see something that God has said and it's recorded there for us, it means that we can speak it because it has been done. That's what we see God doing right here. Amen. And so in Romans 4:17, Paul basically reveals God's own faith nature, the way God practices, exercises his own faith by speaking. Amen. And he speaks with certainty. He doesn't speak with doubt. He doesn't speak with unbelief. He doesn't speak with, you know, a little bit of uncertainty. No, he speaks it clear because, let's face it, he's God. And so we should have the same confidence in his word. And so what Paul also does here is he points out that Abraham's faith was also modeled after God's own way of believing and speaking. Because remember, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. So Abraham means father of many nations, father of many. And so even Abraham, if you look at that whole account, and you're familiar with it, you'll see that Abraham spoke the way God spoke. He would introduce himself as the father of many nations. He would refer to himself that way. He would have the expectancy. In actual fact, if you read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 4, you will see that Abraham had the exact same way of believing, of exercising his faith as God did. He spoke the way God spoke. And so that's all there as lessons for us to learn from, to glean from, and to practice for ourselves. You see, this is what it means to walk by faith, to live by faith. Amen. So God talks about things like they're already real. Amen. Even when you can't see them yet. Think about when he created the universe. So many different times, at least I think it's 6 or 7 different times. It's all in Genesis, and you'll see. He said, let there be, and there was. Then God said, let there be, and there was. Then God said, let there be, and there was. Then God said, and there was. You see that over and over in Genesis. God speaking, faith speaking, and it happening. Amen. It's really, really powerful. And so God calls things by what they are truly meant to be, not just by how they look right now. Did you hear what I said? God calls things by what they are truly meant to be, not by just how they look right now. You see, that is living by faith, right? And that is how faith works. In other words, faith speaks. Faith needs to speak. Amen. And so this is what I want to put the emphasis on as we build up to the next part. This is that faith needs to speak. Now, next week, I'm going to share with you how faith needs to speak and why it needs to speak that way. But today I want to set that foundation and show you that faith does need to speak. I mean, if I said to you, I have faith, and you said to me, faith for what? And I didn't tell you. And then you spend a day or two with me, and you don't hear me saying anything about what I'm trusting God for, what I'm believing God for, what I believe God is doing in my life. Can you walk away after those 2 days spent with me and say, you know, Pastor Marco has faith for this and that and that, and I've heard him say it and he really believes it. Can you do that? No, because if you didn't hear me say anything, if nothing came out of my mouth about it, there's no proof, there's no evidence. Amen. You see, faith needs to speak. And so, like I said earlier, in Genesis, we see this clear pattern when God creates everything. God speaks and things happened right away. God's word carries power and authority. That's why faith needs to be spoken. Because when you speak, you release God's power and authority. Amen. You see, when he says something, it's not just talk. It's action that creates reality. And the same thing goes with you and me. When we speak, when we say something, it's not just talk, it's action that creates reality. This is why our words are so important. That's why our words are so powerful. That's why we've got to be real careful what we say and how we say it, especially to those matters, especially to the people that matter to us. Amen. Words need to build up. Words need to encourage. Words need to release God's power and authority, because they do. Now, when we speak God's word, it's even more powerful because it's his own very word. Amen. So the same God who spoke the universe into existence has given us the ability to speak words that carry power too. And that is truth. You see, our words can shape lives, can change situations, and release faith. Why? Because we're made in his image and designed to operate like him. That's why. Amen. There's no other creature, there's no other being that exists that we know that can do what God does. We have been created in his image. In actual fact, Genesis 1:27, the first part of that verse, look at the screen, it tells us here. So God created man, or you could say humans or mankind, in his own image. See that? God created us in His image. Amen. So we are meant to operate like Him. We are meant to be like Him and do like Him. Amen. And so if God needs to speak His faith, if God needs to express and exercise His faith with words, then so do we. Amen. I mean, think about it. God blessed us with the same authority and ability that He has, which is what? Words, speaking. So our words, like His, are not just noise. They release life and change situations. Amen. Do you believe that? It's absolutely true. This is why our words are so powerful, and we need to be so careful what we say and how we say it, because our words actually carry power and authority that God has given us. Amen. Let's have a look at Proverbs 18 verse 21. The first part of that verse. Look at what it says. Just in case you're not convinced. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. In other words, your words. So what you say can either bring about death, negativity, or your words can bring about life, positivity. This is why words are so important. Now, one thing we don't want to do is get all legalistic about our words. You know, someone who subscribes to doctrine that mixes law and grace, they will turn things like this into a legalistic matter. I mean, I've been there, I've done that, and I've got the t-shirt, and I'm embarrassed to say that, but it's true. I mean, there was a time when, you know, Helen and I were in an environment that taught a doctrine that mixed law and grace, old covenant law with new covenant grace, even though Hebrews tells us not to do that and tells us to decide it's either all law or all grace, but we can't have both. But, you know, so many in Christendom subscribe to a doctrine that mixes both. And so mixing both, what we end up doing is creating formulas, creating rules and regulations, and making things like this legalistic matters, which then lead us down a path that God never intended for us to go. So I remember when we first read this portion many years ago, we were newly married and we were going through Bible school and learning all of these things. But remember, this was a mixture of law and grace environment. And so we heard this, and so we would go home, and if I heard her say something negative, something not positive, whether it was about herself or about me or about the situation we were facing, what would we do? I would look at her and I would say, I bind those words in Jesus' name. I rebuke those words in Jesus' name. I mean, it created such hostility and unpleasantness between us, because now we are like the verbal police, the word police on each other. And we would be binding each other and, you know, and rebuking each other. And basically, our speech became so, what would you call it? So, what is it, the social media networks that was speech at one time that was horrible? Censored. Our speech would become so censored that we wouldn't even communicate with each other properly. We lost that form of communication, that ability to speak to each other. It just became unpleasant. That's not what God wants for us. When He says death and life are in the power of the tongue, what He's trying to tell us is that our words have authority and they have power. And we need to choose how we want to use our words. I remember when I was in primary school, which would be the equivalent of elementary, I guess, here in the United States, that would be in South Africa. I remember one of my friends, you know, he, as young as we were, and as much as we're still discovering ourselves in life, but, you know, he would come to school and he would have such a low self-esteem. He would have such a low opinion of himself, and he would just be negative before we even started anything. If we were writing a test, he would be, oh, I'm probably going to fail. And if we went to, you know, try out for a sports team, oh, I don't think I'm going to get in, so I don't even know if I should bother. And, you know, if we said, well, let's hang out and, you know, ask your dad if, you know, we can come and play, your mom if you can come and play. No, I don't think they're going to say yes. Everything was just a tear down and a negative, pessimistic situation. And over time, I actually got to visit his home and just see how things were in his home, not on purpose, but just, you know, unintentionally. And I actually saw how his parents, both of them, treated him and spoke to him. And they literally just criticized all the time, spoke down to him all the time, spoke negative to him all the time, and basically just called him names and told him he was no good, he was good for nothing, he was gonna add up to nothing, and he just wasn't clever, he wasn't smart, he was stupid. And then I realized why he was the way he was. And so, you know, that was my first exposure, if you will, to realizing how important, how powerful words are. They can bring death or life. This is why when we speak words of faith, when our faith speaks, it is so powerful. Amen. And so that's what we see here in Proverbs 18:21, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, here's another example from Jesus, Mark 11, verse 23. This is Jesus speaking here, and you'll see that it's in red. Watch what he says. He says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now look at the portions that I've emboldened in there. It says, "Whoever shall say, and those things which you say, and you will have whatever you say." So Jesus was using this as an example to teach his disciples the importance of faith speaking, of us using our words to express what we believe. Amen. Exercising our faith and thus believing that they will come to pass. This is part one at play right here. Amen. Now, if Jesus himself said that, you know that then that's the way God sees it. Faith needs to speak. And I remember too, when we were in that legalistic mindset, legalistic environment, we would even make a formula out of this and say, "See, so for every time you believe, you've got to say it three times." And we would turn it into a formula, into a method, and we would try and practice it this way. Again, I don't think that was Jesus' heart. I don't think it's God's desire for us. He doesn't want us turning things like this into formulas, more than capturing the heart of what he wants us to have as a lifestyle, which is faith needs to speak. And if you speak his word, if you speak what he's already provided, if you speak what he's already made available to us, then we should expect it to happen because we are speaking what he said. It has his power, it has his authority. Amen. So if we believe what we speak, we will have what we say. That's in essence what he's saying right there. Amen. Now, I don't know if you noticed, when we read Proverbs 18:21, and when we saw Mark 11:23, where Jesus spoke, neither of those portions of scripture tell us that our feelings come into play or that it depends on circumstances. It didn't say death or life are in the power of the tongue based on how you feel, based on your circumstances. It didn't say that. It just said, this is how it is. That's how it works. When Jesus said, if you say to this mountain and you believe it in your heart, you're going to have what you say. He didn't say, if you feel it, if you sense it emotionally, or if the circumstances line up just right and correctly. Did he say that? No, he didn't. You see, and this is what we need to draw from that as well, is that feelings don't determine faith. Some people think that they have to feel it before they can believe it. And I'm telling you right now, that's not the way faith works. Amen. Feelings don't determine faith. What about circumstances? Well, circumstances don't determine faith either. Because if they did, we would probably practice and believe less. Because some circumstances can be real horrible. Wouldn't you agree? You see, we cannot depend on our feelings or circumstances to determine if we believe. We just need to believe God's word, and we need to speak it despite or in spite of our feelings, in spite of circumstances. Amen. That's why it's called faith, because you are trying to change. You are wanting a change in that situation. You see, feelings and circumstances can be deceiving. Isn't that so? Of course they can. Think about, well, let me tell you, I know someone, this person, many, many years ago, they went out to a lake, or I think it was a swimming pool, I don't remember, I think it was a lake. But they basically looked at the water and just assumed, because it's a lake, that it must be deep. And so he dived into the water, not realizing that it was actually shallow. And he hit it so hard, he damaged his neck and his back, and he had to go through, I think, surgery and just deal with different things for years because of the impact of his whole body weight literally just landing on his head as he hit his head on the shallow ground, you know, beneath the water. So what's my point? Deep water can look shallow, and shallow water can look deep. So it can be deceiving. It's the same thing with feelings and circumstances. Our feelings can make us think something is worse than what it is or better than what it is, but we cannot be moved by feelings. It's the same thing with circumstances. Amen. I mean, I think about another situation. I remember this friend of mine back in South Africa when we were, I guess it would be the same as middle school, which for us was the beginning of high school there. But he invited us. He was a Greek guy, and they had lots of money. They had a big house, beautiful house, swimming pool. They had a trampoline, a big, huge trampoline built right next to the swimming pool. And so it was just, you know, to have fun. So he invited a bunch of us over one day, one Friday after school, to go and swim and, you know, jump on the trampoline and be treated by his mom with snacks and just have a great time. And so we did. I went, you know, and as we were swimming and everything, then he said, okay, well, how about we jump in the trampoline? And, you know, we started jumping and doing silly things and just carried on and on. Now, that was my first time having that experience. So I've never jumped on a trampoline before. And so I liked it. I enjoyed it. And of course, I was a lot leaner then, so I bounced a little higher. I don't think I would bounce that high today. But anyway, so I was just jumping on, and I must have been on that trampoline for at least 45 minutes. The first time. And I remember, and my friend kept looking at me and smiling, and I thought, what does he know that I don't know? What is it that he is realizing that I haven't realized yet? What does he know? And so after about 45 minutes, he says, okay, come on, let's go have a snack. So, you know, I stop, kind of slow down on the bounce, and I get off. And as I start walking, my body still thought I was bouncing. Have you had that experience? That's how it feels when you get off a trampoline at first. It feels, your body still feels like it needs to bounce. So as you're walking, you still have that bouncing sensation. And so you see, it can make you feel like you're still bouncing, but when you really are not. And that's exactly how it is with feelings, with circumstances. This is why we cannot let our feelings and our circumstances help us determine what we believe and how we're going to express what we believe. You see, we need to separate ourselves from feelings, separate ourselves from circumstances and emotions, especially if they don't line up with what we believe. But it doesn't prevent us, they shouldn't prevent us from speaking what we believe. Amen. Praise God. And so faith is anchored in what God says, not in what our senses tell us. Not in what circumstances tell us. Our faith, our believing, needs to be anchored in what God says. Can I have an amen from somebody? Or should I say, can I have a good amen? Praise God. Amen. So we don't live by what we feel or see. We live by what we believe and speak. Amen. That's one of the other principles that we see right there. You see, when we speak what we believe, We rise above emotions and situations. Amen. Declaring God's truth until it becomes our reality. Praise God. There are so many different testimonies that I can share with you. Some happened almost right away. Some took years to happen. But it happened because God is faithful and true to His word. And we need to hold fast to what we believe. Amen. I mean, even Jesus said, when He returns, will He find faith on the earth? Will He find people believing? And He will know that by the words that they speak. Amen. We need to pray for our society. You see, speaking faith supersedes emotions and circumstances. Amen. Let me say that again. Speaking faith supersedes emotions and circumstances. Speaking what we believe needs to supersede what we feel and what we see with our natural eyes. Amen. Now you see, it's when people make statements like that, that's one of the reasons why people say, well, you know, this is the name it and claim it thing. This is the feel-good gospel that makes you think something's going to happen when it really... See, there, right there, those words communicate that someone doesn't believe. But in Scripture, and I want to show you what I just said. I want to back up what I just said with Scripture. So I'm going to say it again because I want to make sure you understand. This is what I'm backing up with Scripture. Speaking faith supersedes emotions and circumstances. Amen. Now, in Scripture, we read about a woman whose faith spoke louder than her feelings and circumstances. Can anybody think who I'm about to refer to? Her faith, what she believed, spoke louder than what she felt and what she saw with her natural eyes. It's powerful. It's one of many examples in the Bible. You see, what happened to her was that her son had just died. That's the worst kind of thing any parent wants to experience. Isn't that so? I cannot even bear the thought. But yet her words didn't match the tragedy that had just happened to her. She refused to let feelings or the situation define her response. She spoke faith. And God honored that faith because she really believed it. And this is what the core of what I'm sharing with you today. Faith needs to speak. Speak what it believes. Speak what God says. Amen. Because they carry power and authority. And not just any power or authority. God's power and authority. Amen. So let's take a look at this account of this woman. And I'm going to share with you as brief as I can. So we're going to read this from the New Living Translation. Watch us here in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 18 to 26. And then we're going to jump to other verses after that, just to see the gist of the story. Okay. So 2 Kings 4, verse 18. Watch us. One day when her child was older, he went out to help his father who was working in the with the harvesters. Suddenly he cried out, "My head hurts, my head hurts." His father said to one of the servants, "Carry him home to his mother." So he was in a bad state. Something happened and he was literally dying, as you're about to see. But his head was hurting. So the servant took him home and his mother held him on her lap. But around noontime, watch this, he died. This is horrible. It's a horrible thing to happen to any parent. He died. She carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. She had set up a bedroom for the man of God because he passed by so often. It's actually a beautiful story. Then shut the door and left him there. So she basically put her dead child on the prophet's bed and just left him there and closed the door. Now watch what it says in verse 22. She sent a message to her husband. "Send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back." Verse 23. Why go today? He asked. It is neither a new moon festival nor a Sabbath. See, he was clueless because he didn't know that his son just died. Watch us now. But she said, notice, he has faith speaking. But she said, it will be all right. One translation says, it is well. So notice, she just experienced her son's death. She watched him die. She held him on her lap. And then she put his dead body on the prophet's bed. Was she in denial? No. She just believed differently. And she spoke what she believed. Do you see that? She spoke faith. But she said, it will be all right. So she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, hurry, don't slow down unless I tell you to. Powerful, isn't it? Now watch this in verse 25. As she approached the man of God at Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her in the distance. That's the prophet that is talking about Elisha. He said to Gehazi, now Gehazi was Elisha's trainee, his trainee prophet, his servant. He said to Gehazi, look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Shunem was a little town in the middle of this place that just was by the road where travelers would travel through. It really was just a small village, a small town, nothing really meaningful or outstanding, just average people just living their lives. And so he says, look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, watch this now, is everything all right with you, your husband and your child? So now here's the man of God asking the question. So she could keep it naturally real and just pour out the cold, hard truth, natural facts, or she could continue speaking what she believed and her faith, right? Watch her response. Yes, the woman told Gehazi, everything is fine. All is well. She was not in denial. She was not out to name it and claim it or do any of that. She just spoke what she believed. Faith speaks. She believed what God said. And God said that he would raise someone from the dead if they died before their time. Amen. And that's what she believed. So now we fast forward and go to verse 32 to 35. And watch what happens here. It says, when Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead. So he confirmed it, lying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. Then he lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hands. And as he stretched out on him, the child's body began to grow warm again. Look at that. Verse 35. Elisha got up, walked back and forth across the room once, and then stretched himself out again on the child. This time, the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. So he came back to life. Now notice, this is this woman's child who had clearly died. Something happened to him. And regardless of the circumstances, can you imagine the feelings that this mother must have felt? If you read the whole story, she couldn't have children. She wasn't going to have children because she was too old. Her husband was too old. But the prophet before that had proclaimed, because he knew in her heart, God knew that she really wanted to have a family. And so the prophet said to her, when I come back, you will have a child. This was before this account. And so this is something that God had promised her that had happened. And now the child died. And she had a choice. She had a choice to give in to the emotions, to give in to the circumstance. But instead, she decided to continue trusting and believing God. And she spoke what she believed. She said, yes, everything is fine. Yes, everything will be all right. Why? Because faith speaks. Amen. So you see that happening right there. Now, the Shunammite woman didn't deny the reality of her situation. She basically defied it with her faith. She chose to rise what she believed above the feelings, the circumstances, and what was going on. And she chose to let what she believed be greater than all of that. And thus, she spoke that way. Why? Because faith speaks. Amen. So her words, when she said, everything is fine or all is well, were not based on what she felt or what she saw clearly. We see that. But on what she believed God could do. Amen. You see, and that's the heart of God. When it comes to faith, He wants us to speak what we believe. He wants us to believe it first, but He wants us also to speak it. You see, there's also another aspect to this. I don't know what to call it. Some people refer to it as the faith movement. But you know, where the more you speak it, the more you're going to believe it. But that's not the heart of God. And even Jesus said, you need to believe it first and then speak it. Because when you speak what you believe, it releases God's power and authority. Amen. Praise God. It's very quiet, but I'm going to carry on anyway. You see, that's the power of faith that speaks. I mean, think about this Shunammite woman. If you go and study about her and read about her and read about this town, the village where she came from, Shunem, she was an ordinary woman from an ordinary town who showed extraordinary faith. And I think God on purpose let us know about this account because He wants us to know that if ordinary people from ordinary places, almost meaningless places, can do extraordinary things with their faith, so can we. Amen. So I want to encourage you. You know, out of the little things with me, there are still certain little pet peeves, if you will, that I have. For example, you know, if I get sick, whatever the sickness is, if it's a cold or a flu, whatever, I refuse to call it my cold, my flu. I'm not going to take ownership of it. I'm going to speak what I believe. I believe God has healed me by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. This is why, remember, when we spoke in part two about the true source of faith, He is the Word. When we take His Word and believe it, and we speak that, can you imagine the kind of power and authority that is released? It's powerful. This is why we need to get into that. Amen. You see, faith that speaks stands above emotions, above circumstances, and agrees only with God's Word, with God's truth, the only truth. Amen. It is so important to speak faith. Amen. Yes, we don't deny circumstances. The woman didn't. She saw what happened. She was part of it. She laid him on the bed. She had him on her lap. But what she believed was different to what she dealt with. And we need to do the same. Amen. It's not about being in denial. It's not about denying and forcing people to do things and subscribe to things that they don't believe in. But it's just about believing what God says so that we can see the miracle happen in our lives. Amen. And then also, I want to remind you, wonderful saints, wonderful people of God, it is your generosity that makes it possible for us to continue doing what we are doing. Amen. So go to newcreationchurchsa.com/give. You can also scan this QR code right here on the screen and it will take you right there. It is all safe, it is all secure. And so I want to encourage you, before you do anything else today, as we close the service, go there, even right now, go there, get it done. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your support. And we know that even one life changed is worth everything in the world. Amen. God Himself said so. Praise God. So thank you for your wonderful and generous support. And may the Lord bless you abundantly with a tremendous harvest as a result of the seed that you sow today and this week. In Jesus' name.
We trust that you are blessed by this message. For more information about our ministry or to make a donation to help us continue spreading the gospel, please visit our website at redemptioninjesus.com.